Hello and welcome back to the Gubba Podcast. I'm Gubba, a first-time homesteader following in the footsteps of my homesteading forebears. In this podcast, I discuss prepping, homesteading, and everything in between. Today, I am going to be discussing prepping for the New World Order, the World Economic Forum, societal collapse, and all the human psychology behind that. I know this is a heavy topic, but I don't think it's a bad idea to ever start prepping and learning a bit more about what is going on in the world, the people who are controlling it, and what we can do to better understand and look to the future. So I'm not sure if you've heard the phrase, you will own nothing and be happy. This stinky phrase originates from a concept promoted by the World Economic Forum, which is shortened to the WEF. You may have seen some of this online. The World Economic Forum is where global leaders, business executives, and other influential figures discuss economic and societal issues. Essentially, it's a bunch of paid off people puppets with agendas for, you know, the actual families and people who run the world, and they don't actually represent real people like me and you. It's quite disturbing. Here are some creepy narratives and ideas that have been praised and pushed by the World Economic Forum to give you a better idea of what's going on. Number one, we got infiltrating and bringing down the governments. Klaus Schwab, the WEF leader, the eat the bugs guy, if you've heard the quote, you will eat the bugs, you know, get rid of meat and we're going to eat bugs. Anyways, he said that governments are no longer the dominant actors on the world stage and that the time has come for a new stakeholder paradigm of international governance. Schwab also discussed how the world leaders like Putin and Trudeau are well known to the World Economic Forum, as in they intermingle often, and their cabinets are representatives sold to the WEF's agenda. Like, he blatantly admitted this. This is not a conspiracy, y'all. You might be listening thinking I'm crazy, I'm just pulling this out of nowhere. I'm not. This is direct quotes from the WEF leader. So the WEF does want to overthrow the world's governments, and that might sound like a great idea, but let's look at other things that the WEF promotes. Controlling minds using sound waves. Yes, this was brought up. Pills that contain microchips. The WEF praised massive lockdowns. They want to recalibrate freedom of speech, whatever that means. Have your clothing tracked. Wow. Smartphones being in your body by 2030. And the lovely, you will own nothing and be happy, which goes along with the WEF looking at the pandemic as an opportunity for a great reset. And y'all, listen to me. These things are directly said in their conferences and talked about. And you know something I found interesting? A influential political leader here in the United States said this Klaus Schwab guy was a great guy. Kind of weird, isn't it? It's kind of weird to me. I'm not pulling this out of a magic hat for today's podcast. Like, I went and read their transcripts. I went and watched the videos. These are creeps on a high world level coming for you, your family, your freedom, and your happiness. What I find interesting is that this information is being scrubbed from the internet and it becomes more difficult to find. What spurred me into my great awakening in 2020 and waking up to the reality of the world was actually a documentary. You can no longer find that documentary. I remember watching it and my mind was blown. My reality was shattered. And when you have a reality shattering moment, you move through a deconstruction area where you have to deconstruct yourself, your thinking, and recalibrate yourself. I showed this documentary to my family immediately and they thought I was nuts. They genuinely thought I was crazy. They were like, whoa, like there is no way this is what is going on. Now, 4 years later, my family realizes that documentary was truth, and that truth continues to unfold before us. And that documentary has been scrubbed. The ominous they, do not want you to wake up. They don't want you to see what's actually going on. Because we as a people, if we came together, That is a serious threat. So who knows? Maybe this podcast episode will be scrubbed too. But back to the WEF and the Great Reset. The Great Reset is a proposal for a global economic and societal overhaul in response to various challenges such as climate change, inequality, and technological disruption. But let's be real though, this is all just a front for control. The families who run the world use scary agendas like climate change to push through mandates that then take away our freedoms. And when these people say you will own nothing and be happy, they mean it. You really will own nothing. I mean, we technically don't really owe anything anyways, if you think about it. So what they're proposing is much more nefarious. In 1984 by George Orwell, an amazing book, by the way, he warns us about giving up our freedoms for the illusions of happiness. I think this is a wonderful, amazing book. And if you're listening to this podcast, you should read this book. A quote from 1984 that I love so much. It says, "Football, beer, and above all gambling filled up the horizons of their minds to keep them in control was not difficult." I find this quote very fitting. We just had the Super Bowl, so football filled the horizon of their minds. To keep them in control was not difficult. Just ponder that for a bit. Anyways, the idea behind you will own nothing and be happy suggests a future where we will have access to goods and services without the need for ownership. Think about that. I don't understand how people can think this is a good idea that a government or a system, the World Economic Forum, whatever, is in control of everything. I think people don't understand that the system is ran by imperfect people, so it will never be perfect, no matter how great the idea sounds. This idea of owning nothing does sound like absolute trash, but that is what we are being pushed towards. This vision often involves concepts like sharing economy, where people rent or share resources instead of owning them outright, as well as advancements in technology that enable greater efficiency and resource allocation. And, you know, just this big conglomerate mess. And when I say resource allocation, I mean a bureau that comes by your house and says, "Hey, you don't really need this, though you worked for it and created it yourself. We know what is better, so we will take it and give to someone else or just take it for ourselves." I mean, we already have bureaus like this, but it also, they could come to your house and say, "Hey, you got an extra room. We need to house these people here because your house is actually our house. You just rent it from us because we know better." How can anyone get behind this? Advocates of this concept argue that reducing individual ownership can lead to greater sustainability, reduce waste, and foster a more equitable distribution of resources. All of this in turn for bending over and handing over what freedom we do have. We hand over our freedom so easily when we are told it is for the benefit of the greater good. Who gets to decide what the greater good is? Sadly, it is the people who run the world. And the truth is, their greater good is an agenda. And critics, myself included, raise concerns about potential loss of privacy and freedoms. So why do we need a greater power making decisions for us? I think this boils down to human psychology. I am going to use another book to describe this human psychology and where we're at as a society. So the Grand Inquisitor in the book, The Brothers Karamazov, makes a great point on this. So basically, the Grand Inquisitor is a parable within a book. It was so monumental for me when I first read it that I reread it and called my parents and read it to them over the phone because they had to hear it. So there's this pattern. I find something amazing, I call my parents, make them watch or listen to it. But in this parable, the Grand Inquisitor accuses Jesus Christ of burdening humanity with freedom, arguing that people are incapable of handling the responsibility that comes with it. He suggests that instead of freedom, people crave security and comfort. And the Grand Inquisitor describes how he has established a society where people relinquish their freedom in exchange for bread, implying that they are willing to give up their autonomy for the sake of material sustenance. And I think this parable hit the nail right on the head. Generally, people are willing to give up their free will for comfort. They would rather give what they have made, in this case bread, to a power like the government and have the government give their bread back to them. This provides comfort, security. And this is where we are at as a society. So it is difficult to function when you are surrounded by people who prefer the illusion of happiness and the greater good over freedoms and autonomy. This parable was a pivotal read for me in my life because it gave me a whole new view on mankind and our wills. I would suggest both 1984 and The Grand Inquisitor as reads for anyone interested in the reality of the world and where we're at as a society, and kind of just gives you a different view on human psychology. And once you have insight on the world, you can plan and prepare accordingly. So now that we know, I would say a majority of the population has no problem handing over freedoms. So what exactly do you prepare for? Let's take 2020 as a case study. We had a mysterious pandemic erupt, then we were told to stay home for 2 weeks, then we were told to wear a mask, and if we didn't wear a mask, we weren't allowed in places. Some of those businesses didn't agree with this, but the government enforced these policies. I remember being at the gym and the government official walking around the gym with the owner, ensuring that as soon as everyone got off of their machine, they put their mask back on. Just think about that for a moment. Was that for our health or was that for control? So if you're on the machine, it's okay to not have your mask on. It's not a public health hazard. But if you are off the machine, it suddenly is. There was no proof that masks worked or that 6 feet was somehow the safe distance. But these two things were used as a means for separating people and causing discord. I remember people fighting at the stores over masks, people following you around if it was below your nose, and so on. It's important to know that people love scenarios like this because it gives the everyday Joe a chance to exert power and dominance over other men. This is another psychology thing about humans. When they are given a little bit of power, it just goes straight to their heads. So the door watcher at Walmart is now a member of the Thought Police from 1984 and will harass you relentlessly if a piece of fabric is below your nose. Our fellow men love having dominion over each other. So keep that in mind. Know that people who run the world love causing chaos and disharmony between our fellow men, between me and my neighbor. They love to have us out of discord. If we banded together as a collective people, we are a threat. So they ensure we are constantly bombarded with things that divide us: mass, no mass, back the blue, anti-police, left versus right, and so on. A divided people is easier to conquer. It is important to understand these things when it is coming to prepping so you can grasp the human mind during stressful worldly scenarios. Think for a moment. How did the people around you survive during the chaos of 2020? Thankfully, 2020 was a big wake-up call to many. So now that you're thinking about the human mind, consider what is going to happen next time when the world leaders come together and say, due to global warming, you are not allowed to drive more than 15 minutes a day. We have a major greenhouse gas crisis, and in order to save the planet, we need to limit your driving. Control scenarios are always presented as a big problem that can only be solved if we come together as the governing body says we need to come together. In 2020, it was to stay home, wear a mask, get an injection. Many people went with it and got violent if you did not. This will be the same when, and I mean when, the next scenario rolls out under the guise of having to sacrifice some freedoms for a better tomorrow. That tomorrow will never come, folks, and it is important to know this. I was a bit blindsided by 2020. I still watched a bit of the news then. I tracked the initial outbreak of the virus, quote unquote. And I still remember sitting with a friend on the floor at my house, and I asked if she was going to stock up on food. She was like, no. And I said, I thought it was a good idea because I thought it was going to get crazy. This virus, it's new. You know, the news says it's erupting. It's so crazy and deadly. Before the chaos, I went and loaded up on toilet paper at Costco. I had a whole cart full because I thought, okay, if the world is going to break down, what is the commodity people will want but don't realize? And it is actually laughable that toilet paper got wiped from the shelves after this. This is so embarrassing too, but when Rona was initially rolling out, I wore a mask and gloves. People walked by and they laughed. I stocked up because I felt like something was coming down the pipes. Something did come down the pipes and it was very different than I expected, but it woke me up to the reality of the world. My same friend went and panic bought when everyone else was. I went to the stores and remember the empty shelves, people fighting over last bags of beans, and genuinely empty freezers, shelves, fridges, and the stores were barren. And I thought to myself, I will never ever be caught having to depend on unreliable grocery stores, and that's really where my prepping and food storage kicked into full gear. So in this scenario, food and common commodities like toothpaste, deodorant, toilet paper were a great thing to stock up on. But how do you prepare for an agenda that says you will own nothing and be happy? Well, you start learning skills. You start learning how to grow a garden. You start learning how to forage the area you are around. You start learning how to butcher meat from wild game and fish. You start learning how to preserve and process your own food, but you also need to learn how to blend in. It is important to know that skills are one of your true forms of freedom. Those are things that people cannot take from you. Once you know it, you encapsulate that skill, it cannot be taken from you. And now that we have further explored some world scenarios and the human psyche, let's discuss a few ways you can prepare for the collapse of our current world, a transition into the new world order, or another great reset. A great reset is just that, and it's been discussed at the WEF. It's a society that gets reset. Freedoms are handed over, and those who do not comply, well, you get reset whether you like it or not. I won't dive super far into this on this episode, but this won't be the world's first great reset. Look at all the city fires of every major city in the 1800s here in the United States, the world fairs, the world wars. Most major cities also have underground tunnels and old cities. Our history is a lot more complex, but it gives us a blueprint for what is soon to be coming down the pipes with the New World Order, and preparing for the next world collapse needs to start today. Go to your kitchen and look around. How long could you and your family survive if the grocery stores collapsed again? There are many resets that countries go through, Venezuela, Germany, Russia even. I recently met someone at a coffee shop who talked about how they were in Russia during their communist reset in the 90s, and the grocery stores were an all-day event. You would wait in line to get in, then wait in multiple lines inside, one for butter, one for milk, etc. At lunchtime, you were kicked out of the store, then had to get in line again. He said that grandmas would be slinging stuff on the street just to make ends meet. I think he called babushkas, maybe? So don't be caught having to wait in line. Start building up your food storage, make it a priority, learn how to grow a garden, utilize space around your home to start storing food, clean your space, then start storing what you can. And again, and you just have to prepare in the best way that you can. Like, you may be thinking, what's the food storage gonna do if the bureau comes to my house and says, hand it over? Yeah, you are absolutely right. So that's why it's just like you have to prepare in the best way you possibly can. A food storage would help you in a scenario like 2020 when the grocery stores were empty. And the problem with a food storage too is it could eventually run out depending on how much you store, what you store, and how it is stored. That's why you need to learn how to grow a garden. Start small, utilize vertical space on your patio or deck, know how to cultivate seeds, get hardback copies of gardening books for your zone so you can reference them if the power goes down. The grid goes down. I mean, at the time of recording this, there was just a major cell phone and internet outage due to a solar flare. Like, was it really due to a solar flare? Let's be real. Don't rely on the internet for your knowledge. Get some hard copies of resources. I have a food storage and a garden planner that can help you organize your food storage and garden planning if you're interested in that. If gardening is not an option, try to build an extensive food storage with compact foods, which would be freeze-dried foods or those military bars that are massive caloric intakes, but are small in size. Make sure you have bug out bags, which are bags you can grab in a minute's notice if there is an emergency. Think about the people in Hawaii who had a minute's notice to evacuate with the fire. Why didn't the blue umbrellas burn, and why haven't the people been allowed back? But interesting things to ponder and consider when it comes to preparing for the future of the world. There really is only so much we can do, but we can prepare for these everyday scenarios. The grid going down, grocery stores being empty, you know, people going into Discord, and, you know, there's a lot of tension like there was with the mask and no mask. It's nice when you don't have to leave your house and go put yourself out there and be vulnerable. An important thing to keep in mind too, when preparing for whatever event comes down the pipes, is to blend in. You want people to think you are just as down and out as they are. They didn't care to prep. I get comments like this all the time where people are like, I'd rather just die than live in anxiety like you. Those same people will have severe anxiety when grocery store shelves are empty again, and their will to live will kick in and they will turn into animals. You need to appear like you didn't prep either. Look disheveled, smell bad. Better yet, don't communicate with people around you if you don't have to. Less communication, the better. If one person sniffs out that you have resources, soon their grandma and second cousin will also be reaching out to you. This all falls in line with yes. Have lighting prepared like flashlights, headlamps, and candles, but do not have lights on at night. Say the grid goes down. Do not be a beacon of light. People will flock to you and you will reveal that you have prepped. What do you do about when FEMA officers roll around? You know, the government group that comes and puts people into camps during emergencies? Well, learn their routes and become inaccessible, however that means to you. In my opinion, they have no right to force people from their homes. But again, in emergencies, people become animalistic and love exercising power and control over others. Figure out how you can personally navigate that. But this is something to keep in mind. Be able to disappear in a moment's notice. I don't want to be drugged to some jam-packed, stinky government camp at gunpoint. Do you? There are stories of this actually happening during Hurricane Katrina where people were prepped, like me and you. And the FEMA came around and was like, hey, you're coming with us. And they said, no, we're good. And then, you know, a gun gets pulled out and says, no, you're coming with us. So, excuse me, so your rights and freedoms, they are up in the air during emergency situations. So consider this, consider your area. How can you blend in? How can you go off grid? How can you disappear? And I think, you know, there's a term for that, maybe the gray man, where you just blend in. You have a designated place that you and your family go that is away and out of the way. Maybe you have a prepping group that you get together with. I know some serious preppers in my area. I'm very, very grateful to have a super awesome community. Communities are everything as long as they are like-minded. You don't want someone who is just freeloading off of you, but if there are people who you know and can work together with and they also have resources and you have resources and you trust each other enough to not mooch from each other, but, you know, create an environment where you could keep your neighborhood safe or your community safe. Those are valuable as well. You just need to really know somebody and their intentions. And on a note of leaving your home and bug out bags, have your car prepared. Do you have tools in there for shelter, first aid, and general protection? What you use for protection is up to you. If you need to bug out, is your car full of gas and ready to go? Do you have physical maps of locations picked out to meet your family or friends to go off grid? Make your plans now. Get together with your family. Call them on a FaceTime. Say, hey, you know, if the system goes down, like, what's your plan? Where are we going to meet? How are we going to communicate? There are radio systems that can be utilized to communicate with your family. Ham radios, you do need to get a license for them, but this is something to look into if you and your family are not in the immediate area. The most important part is just making a plan. Making a plan if grocery stores are empty, if the grid goes down, if the internet's no longer accessible, if you don't have power, what access is going to look like to your home? How you can blend in so your neighbors are not coming to you. Just make that plan today. Just sit down, ponder it, see where you're at resource-wise, see how your family feels. Some of your family might think you're crazy, and I'm here to tell you, it's okay. Don't care if people think you're crazy. You are doing what is best for you. And again, we can only prepare to the best of our ability. Who knows what is going to come down the pipes? We can kind of have a guess of what is going to come down the pipes, but I feel like I was blindsided by 2020, so who knows what is being cooked up right now? We can only just do our best and learn those skills now, like being self-sufficient, how to make food from scratch, how to cook if the power's down. We can only learn those to have some sense of freedom for when something weird does come down the pipes. Like, truly, the future is unknown. But with the history we have, even as recent as 2020, we know that the people pulling the strings are much more malicious and full of malintent than we even realize. The best we can do is start preparing our homes to the best of our capability, whatever that is. I would also suggest to turn off the news. Stop letting the TV control you. In the book 1984, they were required to have the TV on at all times. Turn it off. Start focusing on yourself. You will notice a difference. But I hope that this episode got the wheels spinning in your mind to think about world events in a different manner than how they are presented to you on the box in the living room. Prepare yourself now so you don't have to live in anxiety during the next world catastrophe. I feel like a lot of people think I live in anxiety when I share things like this. I don't. It's just a matter of being aware, being prepared, helping my family out. And I don't want people to have that anxiety. The more people that are prepared, the better. If we could all come together, I think that would be amazing. So thank you so much for listening. I'll see you next time and have an amazing day. Bye.